This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. We love that music, and we play it often on Fresh Air. It was composed a few years ago as a score to accompany a restored version of the silent film classic Metropolis. The composers and performers are the trio The Alloy Orchestra. They've composed new music for several silent films. They're now working in conjunction with silent film expert Paulo Kerkeusai, who co-directs what is billed as the world's only silent film festival, the Pordenone Silent Film Festival in Italy. We'll meet a member of the Alloy Orchestra a little later. First, a talk with Paulo Kerkeusai, who is also the senior curator of the Motion Picture Collection at the George Eastman House in Rochester. Usai and the Alloy Orchestra worked together in creating a new score for the 1929 Russian silent film Man with a Movie Camera. The Alloy Orchestra will accompany screenings of the film in early September at the Telluride Festival and in October at the Pordenone Silent Film Festival. I talk with Usai about why he finds silent film so exciting. I asked him first about the silent film Man with the Movie Camera. The director, Ziga Vertov, co-founded the group Kino Pravda, which means film truth. Vertov is considered a forerunner of the cinema verite directors. Usai says Vertov wasn't the first director who made nonfiction films that portrayed reality, but he was the first to develop a philosophy of cinema verite.
For years, Vertov toured the Soviet Union with his camera. He would try to capture all aspects of Soviet life, from industry to fishing to agriculture, urban life, life of the beggars, life of politicians, and so forth. So indeed, he wanted to give his own image of reality. However, the limit of the comparison between Vertov and cinema verite is the fact that once the footage had been shot, this footage was assembled in a way that it's not verite at all. It is a manipulation of reality. It is a series of images juxtaposed in order to convey a precise political message.
You said Vertov was perhaps the first filmmaker to have a philosophy of cinema verite. What was his philosophy?
Well, it was a philosophy of music, I think, which is why this project makes so much sense. Reading the musical instructions, we can call it score because it was written after all, reading these musical instructions in connection with the film revealed that Vertov had a very acute musical sensibility. He was building his film in the same way that an orchestra or a string quartet would build a piece of music, connecting heterogeneous pieces of sounds, of images coming from the most diverse places and putting them together in an organic structure. There are wonderful scenes in The Man with the Movie Camera where, in order to convey the ideas of birth, life and death in the Soviet Union, he would simply put together a scene from a childbirth, a scene from a marriage, a scene from a divorce, and a scene from a funeral, and cutting them together in a way that there is no sequentiality whatsoever. They're all mixed. So life is chaotic, as complex as it is montage, as it is making films.
You You're a specialist in silent films. What do you love about silent films? Do you think that they have something special that contemporary films lack?
Oh, I like two things about silent film. First of all, I like an idea that's similar to our feeling towards digital technology. People who had cinema in their hands at the beginning of the century had this incredible, powerful invention and still didn't know exactly what to do with it. It's like discovering a wonderful toy and without a tradition, without much know-how, saying, okay, what kind of stuff we can do with this? It is the same sense of the amazement, of discovery, of marvel that makes silent cinema so exciting. You really see people designing inventions, creating ideas through the same process, through the very process of filmmaking. The other thing I like about silent cinema is the fact that it involves the active participation of the audience. Silent cinema, as we know now, was never silent. There was almost always some kind of music or sound in the theater. This live music was providing some kind of connection between the audience, the event of the projection, and the screening in the theater. It was some kind of performance, in a way. Every screening was a different event, and there is a strong similarity, I think, between silent cinema and some kind of contemporary art involving live performance. And again, it is this kind of experimentation that I find so exciting about silent cinema. So there is nothing to do here with nostalgia, nothing to do with archaeology, although archaeology is a necessary part of my job. To me, dealing with silent films is like dealing with a language that was at the time a new language, a new form of art.
You know, the stereotype of silent films, and I think one of the reasons why a lot of people think of themselves as being uninterested in silent films.
Oh, God, that's dreadful.
Is that, you know, the acting is really broad and the stories are really cliched. What do you say to that?
Well, two things. First of all, it's not true. The audience tends to think that way because for years, silent films have been shown the wrong way.
At the wrong speed?
At the wrong speed. You know, we see these comedies and we tend to think that these guys didn't know how to shoot a movie because people would move too fast. That's not true. Films were just shown at a different speed and we just have to show the films at the proper speed. Second, we tend to think that these films were in black and white. Again, that's almost never true. They were in color. They were tinted, toned, hand-colored, and these colors were absolutely gorgeous. So this art was not primitive. It was not an underdeveloped form of art. It was as complex as what we perceive in a contemporary Hollywood film. The difference being that it is a different kind of complexity. And because at the beginning of the century, melodrama was a big thing, and because theatricality was important in the performing arts, yes, it is true that performance style was different, but that's history.
I understand about 80% of the silent films are gone now. We've lost them.
Yes, they are.
So how do you go about looking for the remaining films that have temporarily disappeared but are probably out there someplace?
Oh, it is a wonderful, adventurous, and sometimes frustrating search.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't believe how many early films are still around. You can find them in basements, in barns. There are thousands of private collectors who are giving their contribution to the preservation of the film heritage through their own personal commitment. But on the other hand, there are people who don't know they have these cultural treasures in their hands. These are treasures that have no monetary value because restoring them costs a lot of money. They won't be able to become millionaire, but in saving these films, they perform a really crucial cultural mission. And every week, every month, I receive phone calls from people in the most incredible places telling me that they have found stacks of nitrate prints of flammable film and being willing to have these films restored.
Tell me some of the more improbable places that you found big stashes of silent films.
Big stashes. A swimming pool in Dawson City, Yukon.
What were they doing? What were they doing in a swimming pool?
Oh God, it's an incredible story. Dawson City was a town being founded at the time of the Gold Rush. Then the gold rush is over. Hotel had this huge swimming pool. The hotel is being torn down, and they have to fill this swimming pool somehow. Distributors would send films to Dawson City in order to entertain gold miners in the evenings, because there was very little else to do at the time. They decided to fill the swimming pool with all the remains of the films they had around. So they fill in the swimming pool with films, and that's it. Of course, Dawson City is a very cold place, so around 1974, I think, while digging in the soil, an excavator finds that there is metal in this place where there was this swimming pool. And because of the cold temperature, all these films were perfectly preserved, thousands of reels of film in a swimming pool.
My guest is silent film expert Paulo Kerkeusai. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with Paulo Kerkeusai, the senior curator of the Motion Picture Collection at the George Eastman House in Rochester and co-director of the Pordenone Silent Film Festival in Italy. The film that you've restored and that the Alloy Orchestra has written a new score for, The Man with the Movie Camera, will be shown at the Telluride Film Festival in early September and at the Pordenone Silent Film Festival in Italy. And you're on the board of directors of that film festival.
Yeah.
There's a wonderful story behind how that film festival started. Would you tell it to us?
Yeah, there's something romantic about it. It was 1976, and northeastern Italy had been struck by a very violent earthquake. Thousands of people died. A private collector in Genoa, a big town in northwestern Italy, decided that he had to do something in order to help the people there. And because he was the owner of a private film archive, he thought that one thing people may enjoy is going there and show movies, because most cinemas were destroyed. There was, especially in the first days after the earthquake, no electricity. So he went there with his truck, his portable screen, portable projector, and a generator, and started showing silent films, early cartoons, and avant-garde films in the open air. That's where he met two young people who eventually put together with me and with other friends all over Italy a small festival in the same region that was destroyed by the earthquake. That became the Pordenone Festival. The first time, nobody cared about silent film, nobody knew where Pordenone was, and the attendance for this festival was 8. but we grew, and now our 1,200-seat theater is always filled in the evenings.
So when this film festival started outside, was it too dangerous to go inside in a theater because of the earthquake?
Oh, the first time we didn't even use a theater, and we had no music whatsoever because there was no money to hire a musician. The second year of the festival, because we felt that watching all these silent films without music was kind of weird, we decided that we wanted to use some audio tape. So we put this audio tape with some ragtime music over and over and over, and the audience that by the time had become 60 said, you cannot do that, you got to hire a pianist. So in year 3, we find a pianist who's willing to perform for silent films. We had enough money only to pay one pianist, and this poor guy played 10 hours a day for 8 days. You should have seen him at the end of the festival. He was playing minimalist music because he had no strength whatsoever. He was just doing one chord every minute because he had no strength left.
You've been working a lot now with the Alloy Orchestra, and before I introduce the composer of the band and founder of the band, I'd like to know why you're commissioning new scores for silent films instead of trying to restore the old ones.
We're doing both things. There are old scores still available, and when they are available, we try to present these films in their original form with their original music. However, we have to fight here against a tradition, and this tradition is telling people that old films are boring, that only nostalgic people are interested in showing silent films. We want to demonstrate the opposite. We are commissioning new scores to contemporary musicians because we know that the same film shown with the appropriate modern music can appeal a totally new audience, and I'm talking about audience of young people, of students, of film buffs, of people who then come to me and say, hey, I thought that these old films were so boring, but they're not. So, for example, we managed to convince a founding member of the Velvet Underground, John Cale, to compose a score for a wonderful film called Lon Chaney, The Unknown, and the Pordenone Festival commissioned the score, and John Cale put together the music, and now this music is touring all over Europe.
Well, I want to thank you so much for talking with us about silent films. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Paulo Kirki Usai is the curator of the Motion Picture Collection of the George Eastman House in Rochester and co-director of the Pordenone Silent Film Festival in Italy.